Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-833-33.
I'm loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like a bandit run.
The legend, the music of the legend, Tim May. He will be joining us very shortly here. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We had ourselves a very fun college football weekend. It was great to see the playoff. We finished up yesterday, a day later than we should have, and we'll just say thoughts and prayers for everybody down in New Orleans who is dealing with it, anybody who is up here listening right now who is dealing with friends or family, just obscene, gross, uncalled for, and inexcusable attack that took place down in New Orleans on New Year's Day, taking a great party and what would have been a great time and absolutely ruining it. And so it stinks that this has become a part of this. It stinks that some of this is the story that we are going to have to tell when talking about the college football playoff, but it's the reality. And it stinks. So nothing but love to all of them. But we had ourselves a heck of a weekend. Notre Dame ends up getting the win over Georgia, thus making it that all four teams who had the bye did not make the college football semifinal. It's a weird, weird thing to think. I am floored that we are in this position. Like, the fact that we would look at this and we would say that the bye did not exactly help anybody. And so we go to the North Hobson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we will do that very shortly for the legend Tim May to talk about how we are not going to have these teams have the bye. And I'm floored by this. I would have thought between Oregon, between Georgia, I mean, these are some good teams, man. Arizona State made a run at it. The fact that that time off seems to have something to do with this. And it's a very, very small sample size. And we are, you know, we're still learning. We're still figuring it out. I'm not saying that it's the end all be all or anything like that. But it's a fascinating development. And when fascinating things happen, there is only one place that we go. And we go to Letterman Row. And we go to the North Hobson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we bring in the legend, one of my favorite people. He is Tim May, fresh from Pasadena. Have you left Pasadena, my friend? Or are you back here in the snow and cold?
Baby, I left Pasadena about 9 o'clock Pasadena time. And spent the night in Barstow, and now I've been in Vegas for 2 days and played golf yesterday.
Oh, man.
Flight leaves late afternoon from out here. Yeah, it's not much. It's a little bit warmer, but I had a great time playing golf. The weather was great, and my wife sent me a picture of our backyard laden in snow, and that's what I'm headed to. But, you know, everyone has a cross to bear at some point.
Exactly. We're all suffering in this together. Tim, it's in the 20s up here in Cleveland.
There's snow on the ground. And just hearing that even you, you know, that there's somebody out there who is seeing the sun and playing golf, I'm so jealous. I'm like just dripping
it in. I'm standing here at the window, stayed in Mandalay Bay here and standing in the window here, and it just, it's overcast a little bit, but it's so nice. It's ridiculous.
You poor guy.
I like Vegas. I don't even gamble, so go figure.
You poor guy. I don't know how you do it.
Willpower. Willpower, strength, strength of character. You name anything. Anything right there that pops up on the thesaurus, that's me.
Yeah. The hero that we not only need, but the hero that we deserve. So,
bingo.
My friend, let's go to Pasadena. What was the scene like?
Let me throw one more thing in there.
Yes.
The John Wayne of our age. Now, go ahead.
10 feet tall and bulletproof. So,
yeah.
Let's head back to Pasadena. What was the scene like watching Ohio State just lay the smackdown?
It was I think for everybody, including even Ohio State probably, it was like, is this really happening? Did we tune into the wrong channel? But then you hadn't paid attention to what had happened the previous game when they basically did the same thing to Tennessee with its vaunted best defensive line in the Southeastern Conference. You know, when it's that way, you don't necessarily, like General Norman Schwarzkopf showed us in the first Gulf War, you don't necessarily charge where the trenches are. You charge around them. And that's what Ohio State has done for two games now after – you know, learning about trench warfare against Michigan, learning about it the hard way. But it was a sight to behold. I mean, they ran two of their first three plays were plays they didn't even run all year, including what I've been waiting for them to run for many years, the wide screen play, which kind of drives you nuts, but they just considered a running play. But instead of throwing it there, pump fake, G. Scott took off up the sideline, you know, from that wide screen, from that bunch out wide, and 35-yard gain right off the bat, and you're going, I haven't seen that before. And then two plays later, they run a little flip motion with Jeremiah Smith coming across the formation. And as Will Howard pointed out, what tips you off there is if they don't rotate as fast as they should on the defensive side of the ball, number four is getting it, and he did, and took it to the house, broke one tackle, and took it to the house. So after three possessions, Ohio State was up 14-0, and the defense was doing a number on Dillon Gabriel. I think they'd already gotten a sack, which they got zero in the first meeting. And until it mattered all the way through. But once you go up 34-0, you've really got to implode, and Ohio State did not.
It felt like in that game, on the offensive side of the ball, in that first drive, they realized that Oregon was having a hard time communicating where all the motion was going to go and who was going to cover who, and they just exploited it all game. It just felt like, all right, let's put Jeremiah Smith in motion again. Oh, look, they can't communicate. Let's hit him up the seam. Oh, look, they can't communicate. Emeka Egbuka switching sides either, and it just felt like they went, let's just do this and over again. And on the defensive end, Tim,
Ohio State didn't really do anything super exotic, you know, like you're just pointing out. They just made you defend them from stem to stern, you know. And, you know, the first drive was only three plays. And the next one was probably more impressive. I mean, you know, the deep pass to Emeka Egbuka was right on the money. This idea that Will Howard is refuting over and over now in the postseason that he can't throw deep accurately. I mean, that criticism is now out the door, and if you let him throw deep, he can. So, bottom line is, yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of reasons that Ohio State is now favored to win the whole thing because the Buckeyes are playing like you thought they were going to play every game all year long, and you know, they made the first half against Oregon look like their first half against Purdue, except worse, and that was the number one team in the country they beat, not the number three team in the SEC. You got me? So,
yeah,
it's impressive. And this is the kind of group, man, we talked to them after the game and stuff. I mean, there's just some maturity about this football team. You know, everybody knows about the roster. And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, Ohio State scored spent $20, $21 million on the roster through NIL. Well, Oregon's was probably up to $23, $24 million. So nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how much money Texas has spent on its roster because they don't know the number. At least Ross Bjork was up front and said, you know, this is how much money, you know, they figure is invested in this roster and all kinds of reasons. But there are teams that have spent more than that. They just won't admit it. And now it's Ohio State, Texas, a classic matchup in the Cotton Bowl. This was 40 years ago. You'd be going, wow, you know, can't wait for this one. But it's now 40 years later, and it's really wow. The guy that came to Ohio State and decided to go back home after 4 months, Quinn Ewers, leading Texas, which has been very, for want of another term, inconsistent offensively for quite a while now in this season, including the other day against Arizona State. I mean, you know, Arizona State, in my opinion, got robbed in that game because that definitely was targeting, in my opinion, which should have set them up for a winning field goal.
I thought so too, man. I thought the same exact thing.
I just kind of get off on digressions here. I can't help it. You know that, my man.
But you know what? On top of that one, if we're going to continue to have rules like targeting where it's really just going to come down to whatever the referee's opinion is in that given time, we're going to run into this nonsense. Like, I hate subjective penalties, Tim. Like that, it just drives me up the wall that we are living in a world of subjective penalties and we can't get some kind of hard, fast rule for this stuff.
Well, what you ought to be upset about, I mean, he hit him, he hit the guy square in the head and he did basically semi-dip his helmet, but the point was he hit him first in the head, and that to me has always been targeting. You know, I mean, no matter when they weren't given, it was bottom line a personal foul. So I'll leave it at that. But what Ohio State fans ought to be upset is, I think this streak is continuing. I don't think Ohio State opponents have been called for a holding against Ohio State all year. And that's a ridiculous stat. But if you watch the Oregon game, it was like wrestling out there. By Oregon, not one call. I remember one call just watching the referee. You're looking, I'm seeing Jack Sawyer just being the Oregon right tackle's got his arm wrapped around Jack Sawyer's neck as he rushes, and the referee's just standing there looking at it. And then about, you know, a few minutes later, 10 or 15 minutes later, he calls a holding call on Ohio State's tight end, Will Kaczmarek, on a run play to the right. That was a hell of a run, a hell of a play. And if you go back and watch the replay, wasn't even close to being a holding call. So who knows what's going on?
Who knows? The legend Tim May joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You can read him at Letterman Row, the Tim May podcast as well. You're right. You saw it throughout the entire thing. And it's one of those, you see those replays every so often, Tim, when it comes to holding. And we see it up here with Myles Garrett a good amount too, where it's like, sir, the million-dollar dream is not allowed in this match. Like, we do not allow the sleeper hold in college football.
Well, no,
so thank you.
That's the point. We're not even talking about holding. We're talking about choking.
Exactly. We don't allow the sleeper hold here.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, and it sure didn't work. Shaq Sawyer had a ridiculous game. JT Tuimoloau also, Tyleek Williams stepped up like we always think he can at any moment, you know, to just create havoc in the inside, and then Ty Hamilton is always there to clean up and or create his own havoc. So the front four for Ohio State, and then Caden Curry goes in, and Kenyatta Jackson. Caden Curry has that backside chase down for a sack, and I mean the front, whatever iteration of the front four was in there at the time had a hell of a day, and then the Ohio State offensive line had a tremendous day. So when you win the trenches, man, you got something going for you. Just ask General Pershing from World War One.
My God, you're hitting everything. We got General Pershing from World War One. We got Schwarzkopf. This is tremendous. We got John Wayne in here. Man, this is living the high life.
Yeah, Woody Hayes always saw it as football as a military exercise where you didn't have guns.
Val, I mean, I think Lombardi thought the same way too. All right, so
anybody who's worth a darn feels that way, you just can't always voice it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. All right, so what do we make out of the fact that we've got number 5 Texas going up against number 8 Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, and we've got number 6 Penn State versus number 7 Notre Dame going up in the Orange Bowl? Do we take anything away from the fact that there is not any team with the bye that has moved on?
Well, yeah, number one, we've talked about this on this show all year, man. College football is what the NFL dreams of right now and basically does. I mean, the parity, unless people aren't paying attention, the parity's been obvious for a while now. The transfer portal has allowed teams to get better, some of them sneakily better. They have competent players at almost every position now, especially the ones that made the playoff, for sure. They've used the transfer portal and NIL to strengthen their rosters. And it's obvious. I mean, there were all these weird upsets during the season where you kind of like shook your head like, what? And then you go, well, wait a minute, Pavia, the kid from Vanderbilt, where was he a couple years ago? You know what I mean? Right on down the line. I mean, what Texas has got Quinn Ewers. Ohio State's got has got Will Howard. Penn State has got a guy that they grew from the ground up, Drew Aller. But Notre Dame's got the kid who transferred from Duke.
Leonard.
I mean, you go out and get a quarterback, you know, and who can play, and then you get other people who can play. So, you know, three of the four teams have transfer quarterbacks who have been there for a year, you know, with Ewers a couple of years, but with Ohio State and Leonard, and, you know, once they figured out how to use these guys properly, you become a contender because you've got that guy at quarterback. So, yeah, and the other thing is, you know this, I mean, without asking it, you know, Texas is the SEC's last hope. and they should have been beaten. The SEC should be out of it. And, of course, now these people down in the SEC territory are talking about revamping the CFP rules and stuff because they didn't make out like they thought they were going to with this iteration of the rules from a qualifying and seeding and all that other standpoint. But let me tell you, Ohio State would have beaten Tennessee if they played the game in Honolulu. I mean, they dominated that game. Ohio State would have beaten Oregon maybe if they played that game again in Autzen Stadium because it was a different look, different attitude Ohio State football team. So I think the Final Four is pretty stout in my opinion. And I do think there's something to be said, like you were just alluding to, of having the bye of not playing. But Texas, you know, Texas played in the SEC championship game. They're the ones Texas and Penn State had the really rough row to hoe because if both of them get to the national championship game, it will be their 17th games of the season. So it just shows that sometimes when you get beat, you get maybe a little bit of a break like Ohio State did, but sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes you're the better team. And we saw what Penn State was all about in the Big Ten championship game. I mean, they exposed Oregon's defense for what Ohio State then exploited. So, you know, I think the four best teams at this moment are in it, just like in the NCAA basketball tournament. You don't have to be the best team during the regular season, but boy, if you get hot, look out.
You catch fire at the right time, you figure it out and all that stuff. And I think the other side of it too, Tim, and Dan Wetzel brought this up in, I can't remember if it was Potter or when he's hopped on to me, and he just, I always enjoy talking to Dan because he always makes me think.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, he knows stuff.
Oh, he does. And so he brought up the really good fact of Caleb Downs. And the fact that Ohio State went down there and said, we need another safety. And they went down to Alabama and plucked one of the best in the country after sitting with him for all those days and said, we are going to bring this guy up here and it's going to set this defense off. Tim, in that Rose Bowl game, dude, it felt like there were two Caleb Downs on the field at any given point. That guy was everywhere. It was insane.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, Alabama, we all saw Alabama in the bowl game, right? Wow. And the point is, he'd still be at Alabama if Nick Saban hadn't retired. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what made him available. That's what made Seth McLaughlin was clearly coming to Ohio State after he stepped away from Alabama this time a year ago. Julian saying Ohio State's going to be probably our starting quarterback next year. We'll see how spring works out. But, you know, he practiced with Alabama last bowl season, well, last college football playoff season. And but the thing about Caleb Downs is you're exactly right. I mean, as Ohio State picked up two unicorns, as a guy on the staff referred to them to me a couple of months ago, in Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith, two unicorns on this team, meaning they are special. They are, you don't mm-hmm. see this every day kind of players. And both of them, you know that old adage, great players play great in the big games. And both of them, of course, stepped up. But Caleb Downs is just, it's, you ought to just, if you ever get to go to a game live, you ought to just zero in. I tell people this all the time. You watch the line play, but then just zero in on Caleb Downs and how quickly he recognizes what's coming, how quickly sometimes he signals his buddies just before the snap of what's coming, and then he goes to the ball. As I like to refer to it, he's one of those last-frame guys, and people go, what is that? It was like Andy Katzenmoyer. You watch almost any game tape, and you will see Caleb Downs where the ball is at the end of the play, whether he's the first one there or the last one there, he gets to the ball on almost every play. And Lathan Ransom is basically the same player, too. That's just something you almost can't coach because he wants to be in the mix.
Buddy, hit him straight. Enjoy the sun. I'm beyond jealous.
No, I'm headed home. I'm headed home here in a minute. I hope the guy flies straight. That's all I'm worried about.
Well, if anything, try to find a little bit more sunshine because, boy, this could be a little bit before we see it here.
I know. Hey, Dan, it's not even February yet. That's always my worst month living in Ohio. Otherwise, I'm glad I moved up from Texas. But February really stinks.
At least we'll have the West Coast swing at that point of the tour. We'll talk more tour later. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it as always.
See you next week, my friend.
He is the man, the myth, the legend. He is Tim May. You can read him every week at Letterman Row. Listen to him on the Tim May podcast as well. Oh, a ton to break down from there. And I want your thoughts, too. Do you think the bye is a bad thing for college football? Dissect that a little bit here. But first, the 2020 for McKenzie. I think it is absolutely fascinating. There's a part of me that's like, yeah, you know what? Tim's right. At this moment in time, those were the four best teams. Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State. At this moment in time, that's probably where we are. I still think it's a little... I don't think it is a coincidence. We'll put it that way. And I want a couple more years of this before we really hammer down and come to hardcore conclusions on anything. And it's very hard to do it. I just wonder how much of a coincidence it truly is that the four teams are the teams that played in the first round of the playoff. It can't be coincidental. Like, it can't be this idea. I think the teams that got 3 weeks off, I think it's just too long. And these teams got a little bit rusty. And we saw Arizona State got off to a very slow start. They were able to roar back against Texas, but it was a very, very slow start. I mean, we saw Georgia. Georgia got, early on. And some of that, of course, is, Gunnar Stockton back there instead of Carson Beck. That's going to have something to do with it. But, like, they got, hit early. Everybody got hit really early. Ohio State came out against Oregon. They saw one thing that they could exploit of moving guys back and forth, causing that Oregon defense to communicate with each other, and they were not able to do it, and they exploited them. I mean, good goodness. Ohio State was up 7-0 before the Sugar Bowl even, or no, the Peach Bowl, sorry, the Peach Bowl even ended. I mean, it was unreal. I mean, it just... How fast these teams got up ahead. Penn State completely swallowed up Ashton Jeanty, which nobody has been able to do in college football. I think he is right. I think we got the four best teams in this moment moving forward. But I also think there is something to be said about the bye. And I wonder if we are going to see next year something similar take place. Again, I'm not going to sit here and pound the table and any of that kind of stuff and say the bye is a bad thing and you should do what you can to avoid it. No. That's not what I'm saying. It's one of those things that happens that you kind of just raise your eyebrows a little. And you look at it, okay, maybe the time off caused a little bit of rustiness. Maybe these teams got behind early and they weren't able to come back. And especially if you're a team like Boise State where we were sitting there watching that game thinking to ourselves, boy, they're handing it off to the running back a lot. Well, yeah, that's their best player. Like, you're going to put the ball in his hand. The whole Boise State goal was to put the ball in his hands as much as humanly possible, Jeanty, that is, and just let him go. And then get yourself a lead and hold that lead with your ability to continue to hand him the ball. Have a good enough quarterback to make it work, make enough plays through the passing game to open it up, and go from there. I think the best team remaining is the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I'm not just saying that because we are located in Cleveland, Ohio, and there's a lot of Buckeye fans out there. I just think this is the best team. They have shown, since that wake-up call, it's almost like they finally found their identity. It's almost like it took that wake-up call for them to go, oh, yeah, we have Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka. We're not a weak team in any way, shape, or form. We are not a soft team in any way, shape, or form. Please don't make me think I'm saying that. But you don't take a Ferrari off-roading. And it felt like in the early part of this, and especially that Michigan game, it felt like they were trying to take a Ferrari off-roading. And it's like, no, that's not you. You're not an off-road vehicle. That's a really dumb idea. You're not built to go off-road. You are meant to fly on smooth-ish pavement and just blow by people. And you lost your identity in that Michigan game. And for some reason, you decided to take the Ferrari off-roading. And yet, you made a mistake. You cracked an axle. You blew out a tire. You ran into all the things that happen when you take a Ferrari off-roading. It's not built to do that. It's too low to the ground. And it's like Ryan Day and Chip Kelly and Jim Knowles woke up and went, why are we doing this? What are we doing here? We have more talent than everybody else in college football. We are faster than everybody else in college football. We could do this. All we got to do is get back to what we do best, which is turn around, hand the ball off to the two running backs who are back there, and put Jeremiah Smith in position to succeed, and make it that if they're triple-teaming him, we've got Carnell Tate. We've got Emeka Egbuka. We got enough guys who can make this work in between. Let's just exploit this. And they are peaking at the right time to win a national championship. And they're going to see Texas. You're going to see Texas in the Cotton Bowl January 10th. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. You got Sark on the other sideline. You got Quinn Ewers. It's going to be a good time in that game. Great defensive line in Texas. I think they were calling it the most expensive defense money could buy in that Texas team. It's going to be awesome. I'm in. Let's go. This is what we want. We're getting it. And frankly, Ohio State should be favored, and it should be favored by a good amount. Quinn Ewers is just such a baffling case because you watch Quinn Ewers, and he'll do some things that make your head spin, and then he hits that beautiful seam ball in overtime on 4th and 15 into the end zone, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? That was a big boy throw. Nice job, bud. Like, you have those moments with Quinn Ewers where you see it kind of clicks in, and then you run into these other ones where you're like, good golly, man, what are you looking at? And so this Cotton Bowl game is going to be fun. I'm pumped. I'm excited for it. We got a whole week to prep. Ohio State's coming. They're coming loud. They figured it out. I feel like they know who they are now. And I think that's the biggest thing we could take away from this, is they know who they are. We've seen it from two games against two of the top-tier teams in college football. They completely blew the doors off of both of them. We know who they are. They know who they are. Those two things match. And it's a really good thing to be in this position with this much talent when you know your identity and you know what you do best. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter if you so desire. We come back. We'll dig a little bit more into college football and the great question that has been bandied about for a long time. It's week 7. It's week 18. People are half paying attention to your NFL product. Do we really need a week 19? Dan Manigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92 through the fan. Dan Manigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92 through the fan is what you get locked into right here. Rolling on in afternoon drive. Going to follow me, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. I'm sure they will have thoughts on everything that is going on. Getting you ready for Saturday's game. Again, the game is on Saturday, 4:30 in Baltimore against the Ravens. You'll be able to listen to that game at your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. Andrew Siciliano, Nathan Zagura, Gerard Cherry as well. We have it locked in right here. This segment is brought to you by QC Kinetics, the leader in regenerative medicine. In pain, give QC Kinetics a call at 216-770-5488. 5488 for this segment. So, little bit of news that just came down. The Jets have announced that they have completed their interview with Mike Vrabel. And Vrabel has been a name that's been thrown around here for a good period of time as somebody who could take over. The Walsh Jesuit graduate was with the New England Patriots, was the head coach of the Tennessee Titans before being let go there, and was a consultant with the Browns slash de facto tight end coach slash de facto offensive line coach at one point or another. And so the Browns let him out of his consulting contract last week so that he had this week to go interview. This is the first one that we know of that he sat down. He will be talking with the Bears. He will be talking with the Saints. He will be talking with every team. He is going to be the focal point of all of these things. The question that comes up with Vrabel is, there was a really good piece in The Athletic today from Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. And he sat down and followed Mike Vrabel around for a good period of time and talked to him and all of that stuff to try to figure out what Vrabes has learned. And, you know, Cleveland has been a huge part of this. Cleveland has been where what he's been doing and, you know, where he was looking to get a little bit better. And this piece was really good. And a lot of people around here have been screaming for Mike Vrabel to be the head coach. And I've never gotten behind that idea. I'm fine. Yes, okay, he displays toughness. Yes, he was getting down in the trenches and going up against the offensive linemen and working with them and doing all those different things. And that's great. And yes, that is a good thing. And so he's going to interview all over the place. And that's what it should happen. He took a year off. The two of them, I thought it was interesting out of this piece that Vrabel and Kevin Stefanski had met each other at the Combine or things along those lines, but had never actually like had a real relationship until Stefanski reached out and said, hey, do you want to come on with us as a, you know, consultant? Do you want to take a year off and be a part of this? And in this piece from Rosenblatt, he was offered to be the defensive coordinator for Luke Fickell, to go down to college and even work maybe as a consultant for college if he didn't want to do that. He was offered DC jobs around and he said, no, I'd rather come to the Browns and I'd rather learn the analytic side of things to go with the football side of things. And it was a really interesting piece where they went in and said that Vrabel, it was asking a whole bunch of questions of Kevin Stefanski, how he wanted to look at things, how he wanted to do stuff. And even Andrew Berry was sending him on top 30 visits or top 50 visits, whatever it is. The visits that you do for draft picks and was letting them in with how they scout people along the way. And I thought that was really, really fascinating, all the things through there. So here's Ian Rappaport from this morning on the Jets interview with Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel, one of the top candidates of this coaching cycle, of course, former Tennessee Titans head coach, worked for the Browns this season as a consultant, is going to interview with the New York Jets today. This is a fascinating interview just because of how coveted Vrabel is and how highly thought of he is in that building. It is early, obviously, in their coaching search. Still going to get to work and interview other candidates, but this obviously is a key one. Vrabel should be a top candidate for basically any job that is open.
And that's going to be the case. And he will. He's probably the best. It's either him or Ben Johnson are probably the two, who is the offensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions. Those are the two names that are getting thrown about for all the head coaching vacancies. It's going to be either Mike Vrabel or possibly Ben Johnson, who are the two. Aaron Glenn will be in there as well. I think people will talk to Cohen from the Buccaneers. I think you'll see Jesse Minter's name being thrown about, the defensive coordinator from the Chargers. I think Kellen Moore's name might get thrown about as well. But I like the fact that Mike Vrabel was here, if I'm looking to hire a coach, for the idea that he wanted to change. He wanted to see things through a different light. He wanted to be better. He wanted to get out of that Tennessee situation, and he very easily could have just gone, all right, I'll go be the DC here, or I'll go, you know, I could go with the next Patriots guy to take care of this, or I could go to New England possibly. And he didn't. He picked somewhere that was going to make him think differently and look at things differently. And I hope the other direction took place for Kevin Stefanski too. I hope Kevin Stefanski saw some of the things that Mike Vrabel did and took some stuff from him on top of it. Maybe some of the emotion, maybe some of the getting to know people, getting to know his players, maybe being a little bit more, you could still be a player's coach, but still be a dominant force. maybe the accountability, maybe all of that kind of stuff that Mike Vrabel is known for, maybe the two of them were able to share with each other. And we see a different thing next season than what we saw the season before because they had somebody like Mike Vrabel in the building. Maybe this thing ends up being mutually beneficial. I hope that's the case. I want it to be the case. But it was a really interesting piece, and I recommend people give it a read in The Athletic, the Zach Rosenblatt piece, and how they talked about Mike Vrabel, and even how, again, Andrew Berry was having them in draft meetings. Andrew Berry was showing them how they do scouting, how they write draft reports, all that kind of stuff, and Vrabel was just a sponge absorbing all of these things. It's kind of cool when you get those. And I hope the Browns continue to do it. And I hope they continue to be a group of people who want to bring in outside information and outside thoughts and all of that to just help continue to evolve. Because the minute you have longevity when you're able to evolve, it's the reason why you get a John Harbaugh who can coach for as long as he can, because he had Greg Roman in there for a long period of time, realized that this wasn't doing it, moved on from Greg Roman, went to college and got Todd Monken. He evolved. Same thing on the defensive side of the ball, bringing in Mike McDonald, moving on from that 3-4 defense. You could say the same thing with the Steelers and moving on from that 3-4 defense, the Dom Capers defense that was there for forever, the Dick LeBeau defense that was there for forever. You evolve. And I hope the Browns are able to do that as well. And maybe we didn't see that evolution this season, but maybe next season we start to see it. Things get back on track. We'll see. It's going to be really, really interesting. I am fascinated where next season goes. On the 18-game schedule front, we all know that this is coming. We all know that this is going to happen at some point soon for a lot of different reasons. One, money is good, or so I've been told. I don't have any. But if I had some, people who have it have told me it's great. And so this will just get the NFL more money. We know how that goes. But the thing that I worry about with it is the situation we're in this week, where we've got a lot of just clunker games. We've got these national TV windows. They were hoping it was going to be really close, but there's a lot of clunker games because of all the injuries that have taken place for all of these teams. Not just the Browns, but a lot of teams that are just super banged up and limping into this. You're going to have flops. That happens every single year. We're not worried, you know, we're not worried about that side of it. But it just feels like the more games you play, the more chance of injury you have. And the more chance of injury you have, the more backup quarterbacks you have. And the more backup quarterbacks you have, the more bad football you have. And I don't know what the solution is to this. I mean, we can't move this thing to two-hand touch. That's not going to work. Nobody's going to get better. Nobody's going to enjoy that as much as they should. There's always going to be that level of violence that drives people to football. But there has to be something that is figured out in between, because if you want to expand this to 18 games and have your usual playoff on top of it, you have got to find a way to keep quarterbacks upright. You have got to find a way to help these quarterbacks out, or else you're just going to end up with crummy football after crummy football after crummy football. And you're going to end up with a week 18 slate where we're looking down at going, ooh. Okay, Packers, Bears, that's kind of watchable. Okay, Lions, Vikings, that'll be fun. The entire Lions defense is banged up, but hey, that could be a good time. We're kind of talking to ourselves, and not to a tongue of Iola, it's sounding like he's not going to play for a Dolphins team that still has the playoffs. Why? Hip injury. He's hurt. Great, here comes Tyler Huntley again. Is that exactly what you want leading into a playoff game? You want Tyler Huntley out there? Is that what anybody wants? That's not a watchable product. That's not what we're looking for. I don't know. We will see where it goes from there. It's all going to be very fascinating as they continue to negotiate and figure out where this is. I just don't think 18 games is the best thing that we can do. I don't think more football is the answer. But the problem is while I think more football is not the answer, I know that more money is the answer for every single one of these owners. And as long as more money continues to be the answer for every single one of these owners, this is the world we're going to live in. Thank you to everybody who joined me today. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you to the tweeters as well. Our social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to me at the Sports Feller if you so enjoy. We thank Tim May for his time and hopping on for us and talking Ohio State. We thank Mary Kay Cabot for her insight as well. She was at 11. If you missed either one of those interviews, Odyssey app radio rewind to 11 for Mary Kay, 1 o'clock for Tim May. You can also catch it at 92thefan.com. wherever you get your podcasts. We thank Meredith Kane for all of her hard work today. We thank Mackenzie Flume for all of her hard work today as well. I'm Dan Menigan. I hope you enjoyed. The gentleman should be back. Afternoon Drive coming up next. Jonathan Peterlin, Nick Wilson. Oh, I'm sure they'll have stuff for you.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.